Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, here with a name you know, and you've come to know him in Ring of Honor for well over a decade. We got Rhett Titus here. Rhett, how you doing?
I'm feeling gravy, baby. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing awesome. We definitely want to let people know you can check out Tracy Williams and Rhett Titus, the Foundation Against SOS and the Bouncers YouTube exclusive. I will say I love the concentrated effort that ROH's YouTube has made over the last year specifically. Like, that was one of those things. I was like, man, they have so much content. They have so much stuff in that library. And over the last year, we've really seen it step up. And beyond that, you're getting exclusive matches in that tag team division, too.
Yeah, you know, Ring of Honor's YouTube is always something that could have been better, you know. Yeah. And during the time off, they definitely made a conscious effort to make it better. And, you know, you're always seeing a new match, Throwback Thursday. And lately, I've been restoring Honor with Rhett Titus. So that's basically I'll take a match from the vault, you know, one classic match, and kind of do a watch along with it and tell some behind the scenes stuff about the match and those sorts of things. So definitely a fun little concept that we come up with. So
I love it. It's such a slam dunk idea. They have that robust library. They have a lot of personalities that can talk about this type of stuff. I mean, it's been something that I noticed, and there have been a lot of improvements in Ring of Honor over the last year or so specifically, but we mentioned the tag team action there. I got to credit you and a few other teams. I'd kind of fallen out of love with tag team wrestling for, gosh, it seems like a decade. And then I remember it was All Night Express. It was Kings of Wrestling. It was World's Greatest Tag Team. It was the Briscoes. And I was catching this stuff on like Saturday afternoons. And I was like, this is incredible. This is what I've been missing for so long. And I've felt like a real love for tag team wrestling since then. And that's something that you've like hinged your career on an awful lot.
Yeah, in a lot of circles, I'm known as a tag team specialist. So I've had many different tag team partners in Ring of Honor alone, never mind other indies and stuff. But in Ring of Honor alone, you know, at Final Battle, I've had four different tag partners, you know. So it's one of those things where, like, when me and Kenny King first started teaming, that was like my first like real steady tag team partner. And I had to learn a lot about tag team wrestling at that point and chemistry with another person. So now I can just pretty much tag up with anybody and be like, hey, man, what do you do? All right, well, yeah, this is what I do, and let's go out there and do it. But nowadays, you know, tag team wrestling is kind of – it's a free-for-all on TV. So, you know, you guys not tagging, coming into the ring, guys just running, breaking pins up. Four guys in the ring at a time, the ref just losing all control. And one thing that we're trying to do at Ring of Honor is trying to reinforce those rules. Once again, if you saw Final Battle, you would have seen the Pure Rules tag team match where we still had an exciting tag match, but we didn't make the ref look stupid, and we also stuck to all the rules, and the rules became a bigger factor because of it.
How do you prepare for something like that? Because that's not like something that, I mean, I say train for on the indie circuit. You've been in Ring of Honor for over a decade. So, I mean, and this division kind of went away for a while, and they've reclaimed it now. And now we're seeing tag matches with Pure Rules.
Yeah, there wasn't any Pure Rules tag matches to go back and study or try to come up with a strategy for. So, but really, you just got to get down to back to the basics. You know, it's pretty cut and dry how tag team wrestling used to be. And if you go back and watch my different tag matches with different partners over the years, I always tried to stay true to stuff like that. Cause like, I always had like, you know, working under Jim Cornette for as many years as I did, I always had that in the back of my head, like, oh my gosh, what would happen if Cornette saw this? He cursed me up and down. So, you know, you got the fear of Jim Cornette and you know,
you're going to want to up and down, even if it's good though.
Yeah. So, if you have that fear of Cornette in you, you want to stick to the rules as much as you can.
So you're a member of the foundation now. I love this group. I just adore this group. I think that you're a really great fit there. One that maybe people didn't necessarily expect, and I loved it. That's what I liked about it. I wasn't expecting Rhett Titus to just be in the foundation, and it's such a great faction full of people that have been around for a very long time, whether it be on the indies like Tracy Williams, who has made himself known in Ring of Honor the last couple of years, yourself and Jay Lethal, who have just been on that national scene for over a decade, and Jonathan Gresham, who, I mean, I personally watched this guy's tutorial videos on YouTube. Like, I'm like always in amazement of how he'll take a complicated technique, break it down in 1 minute, and I'm like, oh, I got it. Like, he's a wizard. And yeah. You all each bring a little something different. Please tell me how you found out you'd be in the foundation and your thoughts on that.
Well, honestly, if you were surprised to see me in there, I was surprised to see myself in the foundation as well. It was at the first bubble where I actually, the first bubble when Ring of Honor came back to TV, where Jonathan Gresham approached me and was like, hey, man, we got this concept going on where we're going to try to bring, you know, restore honor and bring rules back to Ring of Honor. You've been here longer than anybody around here, so I think you'd be a perfect fit. Love and it. I'm putting your name in the hat to join the foundation. I was like, what? You know, because, you know, at that time, you know, I was very, very frustrated. You know, it's, you know, being off for months and months and months and coming back to TV and finding out, we don't got nothing for you this time. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, and you just, you know, you want to pull your hair out, you know, yeah. But you try to be positive through everything. And you just, you know, oh, cooler heads will prevail. And you just keep working hard, hoping somebody notices. And then Jonathan Gresham pulls you aside and tells you about this idea. And you're just like, yeah, 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 let's go. So it's pretty cool because we're all a bunch of like-minded individuals, you know, while me and Jay, you know, we've been in Ring of Honor for years and years and years, and I even grew up watching Ring of Honor prior to coming to the company. Hot Sauce and Gresham, they were both longtime Ring of Honor fans too, so they all know about, you know, what the Code of Honor really means to Ring of Honor and how it came from the beginning of Ring of Honor and how it kind of, you know, got stepped on throughout the years and stuff. And everybody is very passionate about bringing it back. And it's pretty cool though, because, you know, when you have respect from your peers, you know, it's a great feeling. But when your peers are Jay Lethal, Jonathan Gresham, and Tracy Williams, you're like, all right, it kind of lights a newfound confidence inside of you.
And I mean, when the restart, so to speak, happened, it's like, I figured you'd be a part of a tag team because they can put you in there with a mop and you're going to make a good tag team with them. Like, you've proven that you can team with absolutely anybody and you're going to have a good tag team. But then when it's like, oh, you will be, but it's in the foundation. I was like, oh, that's fantastic. That's playing off of the experience. 15 years in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And you're in a very unique situation that most people are never in. Because as you mentioned, you grew up watching Ring of Honor. You are still a very young guy, but you've spent 15 years in Ring of Honor. That's not something a whole lot of people can say, because you have grown up like almost your entire adult life in Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even prior to that too, I started training at the ROH dojo. I was 17 years old. And you know, I basically grew up on the road with Ring of Honor and, you know, learned along the way. My first ever professional wrestling match was on a Ring of Honor show, in Dayton, Ohio. No better way to get the first one out of the way than with a passionate, you know, smart fan base like the Ring of Honor fan base. But yeah, man, and everybody looks to me as like a veteran in the locker room, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, 15 years gone by already. And it's one of those things where I don't think of myself as a veteran because like I'm still so like hungry and passionate like anybody walking off the street is.
Yeah.
So it's always like kind of weird to think about myself that way. But yeah, man, you know, most people think I'm a lot older than I am, but I'm 33 years old. I've been, you know, wrestling for Ring of Honor for 15 years. And I guess that would be 11 or 12 years where we've, 11 years where we had TV. So, yeah. 11 years of television experience. So it's been quite the journey for me.
And we see wrestlers go into their 50s now, for the love of God. Like, when you see that, like, do you have like a year in mind? Like, oh, well, I want to be retired by this time or that time. Or are you just like, hell no, I'm going to go PCO levels. I'm going to hit him up for some info.
Dude, I see guys like PCO, and even guys like, if you've ever heard of him on the Indies, Action Mike Jackson.
He did Impact recently.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. He did do him. And, He used to do jobs for like Crockett back in the 80s and probably before that, but
and he's still in great shape. He's like, he's like 200 years old. He's in incredible shape. I love, he does the rope walk gimmick. I love it.
And he does tope. He does the whole nine yards, man. I hope that, you know, I'm in that condition when I'm at his age. You know, I don't ever want to have to stop doing this. You know, there is that, you know, the thing in the back of your head though, where it's like, there may be a day where I won't physically be able to do this anymore, but you know, I'm trying to do everything to, keep that and prevent that from happening. You know, I work out twice a day and try to stay in shape that way and stretch and, try to take care of my body and have a healthy diet. So, you know, it's one of those things where wrestling's a very dangerous sport. You know, you could be feeling great today and then go out there in the ring and, you know, feel horrible tomorrow. So no, I don't have a time frame on when I would want to hang it up. I just want to do this for as long as I possibly can and make as much money as I possibly can. And, you know, hope that, when I'm done with the in-ring stuff, that there's something for me to do outside of the ring involved with wrestling.
and obviously there's still a long way to go. Just such a long way to go. You're in your early 30s right now, and you've got all this experience as well. Just fantastic stuff. We mentioned you've been in Ring of Honor like for ages. I had heard maybe towards the end of 2019, maybe early 2020, that Ring of Honor flew like the entire roster in for a meeting and was like, hey, we want your input. We want to know what you guys want to change. Had you seen anything like that in your time there? And did you have any specifics that you contributed? Because I had a lot of wrestlers that were like, oh, they implemented a lot of our suggestions.
Yeah. You know, it was one of those things where with all the drama and stuff that was going around at the time, Ring of Honor just had a lot of bad publicity on it. And it was one of those things where it's like, all right, we need to like set this ship in the right direction. So literally everybody came in and there was a big, you know, dry erase board and a marker. And one of the employees was just up there writing everything down and,
nice,
and all the different things we could be doing. A lot of the stuff that, you know, that was mentioned is, you know, coming to fruition.
More Ian Riccaboni elbow drops.
Yes. One of the big things that I was a fan of was the catering. You know, here and there we would, you know, be, they would, oh, hey, we got you guys this from such and such, or, oh, hey, we got you some Subway or something like that. You know, but then it became a point where in 2020, all our shows were fully catered. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I'm a vegetarian. So a lot of times I can't eat some of the stuff that, you know, most of the other people eat. And not only am I vegetarian, but I'm very picky eater about what I'm putting into my body as far as like carbohydrates and sugar and stuff goes. So I remember the last show that we actually had, I believe it was in St. Louis, or I think it was in St. Louis, but they had veggie burgers there that day. And I was like, oh my gosh, the veggie burgers. And dude, I was just going to town, you know. It was no buns though, so it was all good.
I love hearing that they took that type of thing into consideration. I kept hearing good things throughout the pandemic when I'm reaching out to wrestlers, trying to get some scoops, trying to get some news. And they're like, man, ROH is treating us good. They're taking care of us. They haven't pressured us to do like anything out of our comfort zone. And that's very refreshing to hear considering the way that some other places handled things. I think that speaks very highly of Ring of Honor.
Yeah. The thing was like, when we went out to Las Vegas for the pay-per-view and the television tapings, like I got off the plane and I saw Grizzly Redwood and Cheeseburger. I was like, hey, what's up, guys? They're like, hey, you check your email yet? I'm like, no. They're like, the shows are canceled. I'm like, what? You know, like just knowing the amount of money that it costs to put on a pay-per-view production and the satellite time and flying everybody out to Las Vegas and the rooms for a few days, and they had catering lined up and all this stuff comes into play, you know. And it's just like, man, they just canceled it all. Like, I guess this coronavirus thing, I guess this is really something, you know, to be worried about. And then like, so we go home and it's like, you know, you're like, all right, well, I guess like 2 weeks, like locked up, you know, just to relax and kind of cool down. That won't be that bad. And all of a sudden 2 weeks turns into 2 months and you're like, oh boy, you know, Ring of Honor shows are canceled. And, you know, there was really no talk of like when we were going back to work, but they were making sure that everybody felt good and everybody was paid. So that was definitely refreshing. And you see all these other companies are still going on with their operations, and you know, they're doing temperature checks and stuff like that, and the testing really wasn't, you know, that accurate at that point, you know. So nobody really had the COVID testing. So Ring of Honor was just like, hey guys, we want to make sure that we have, you know, all our T's crossed and our I's dotted, because, you know, we don't want to see any of you guys getting sick. We don't want to, you know, jeopardize anybody's families, anything like that. So they waited until August, until, you know, they knew a lot more about the coronavirus. And there was even talks about even bringing the tapings to Florida or like Tennessee, one of those more open states. But they decided to go with Maryland, because even prior to the pandemic or coronavirus or anything, Maryland State Athletic Commission is one of the most, you know, strictest, the most strict commissions in all of professional wrestling. So they wanted to do it with them to make sure that everybody was, you know, safe beyond belief and really taken care of. And, you know, from, you know, I just took my pre-travel test yesterday, and then you get there, you take another test, and you're up in your room for a few days by yourself and just, you know, kind of hanging out. And then before you wrestle, you got to take another test. And before each match, the canvases are changed out and the ropes are all wiped down, sanitized. They go through 15 canvases in a day, you know, and they give us all money so we can order food to our rooms and we don't leave anywhere. So we got a per diem per each day. And man, like, there's temperature checks at the door as well. So if, you know, you were feeling a little under the weather, you know, they don't want to risk it at all. So they really, everywhere you go to, hand sanitizers here, and you got to wear your mask the whole time as well. So,
and we saw that affect Final Battle too. They were like, we're not risking this. We've got big stars on this show. They had a big match, EC3 and Jay Briscoe. And they were like, it sucks, but we can't do it. And, yeah. And it worked out for him in the long run. EC3 signed there, and he even told me, he was like, oh, I owe it to them, the fans, and Jay to do that match. But it's good that they were worried about my safety, too.
Yeah, you know, it's it's crazy because, you know, you spend all this money advertising the pay-per-view and the matches on the pay-per-view, and then you get pay-per-view and it's like, well, we gotta do a little something different here. So and even with you know, Bandido and Flamita, you know, they were the six-man tag champions and every title was supposed to be on the line at Final Battle, but hey, you know, plans change. And it's just you know, I feel like if this would have happened like 15, 20 years ago, where like, you know, this pandemic hit professional wrestling, people wouldn't be taking the proper steps to keep everybody safe. Whereas now it's a whole lot different. And I'm very, very thankful for the steps and the caution that Ring of Honor has taken to keep the whole company, the staff, the crew, the wrestlers, everybody safe during the pandemic.
We mentioned the fact that you'd been in a lot of teams. You've been in a few groups as well between the Cabinet and Scum and now the Foundation. How would you compare those? Because, I mean, different roles in each one, obviously.
Yeah. You know, like, one person says, like, oh, man, like, how can this guy, like, join Scum, a company that was, you know, hell-bent on tearing Ring of Honor down and burning it to the ground, and then being the Foundation and, you know, try to restore honor. Well, simply put, my favorite wrestler growing up was Steve Corino. So when your favorite wrestler gets in your head, you know, it's like, oh, right. But, you know, the Scum wasn't just trying to tear down Ring of Honor. We were trying to tear it down to rebuild it again because it had fallen away from where it had been and it was originated on. And even with, like, the Cabinet, where we were trying to protest the code of honor because people weren't abided by it. So we would meet at the code of honor, which was probably 1 year too soon. You know, if that would happen 1 year later, it would have really been mega, mega, mega heat. But you know, if it would have happened 1 year later, it might've been mega baby face too. I guess it all depends on what city you're in, you know? Yeah. So, because some of those issues, you know, different cities you go to, you know, I remember a romantic touch mask versus a romantic touch match versus Dalton Castle that happened in Amarillo, Texas, and Amarillo, Texas was not progressive as a lot of other places that we were going to on the tour, so that one wasn't ready for Dalton Castle or the romantic touch, but it's about 5 years, 6 years later now. Hopefully Amarillo, Texas has come up a little bit, you know?
How did you feel working as romantic touch? Well, obviously different. I'm sure it was an adjustment, but how did you feel? And like, did you take that to them? Did they bring it to you? How did that even come about?
Basically, like, it was one of those things where like everybody that was in Scum, like, you know, got kicked out of Ring of Honor, and everybody had to find their own way back in. And this was my way back in, you know, coming under like the Midnight Rider type thing and trying to make it obvious as possible. Romantic touch, Red Titus, RT. And I definitely enjoyed it because I'm a big fan of like character wrestling. So, you know, if I can go out there and portray a character and have everything make sense through that match as what that character would do, like, you know, that's pro wrestling right there. That's my favorite pro wrestling, you know. But there came to a time where it was just like, oh man, like, you know, enough is enough, you know. Yeah. this mask itches, you know, my peripheral's all messed up. Man, I could be doing so much more here. I just want to be, you know, doing more. And then the stars aligned and Kenny King, his Impact deal was coming up and the romantic touch was, had ran its course by that point. And, sure enough, the All Night Express, came back together.
How did you feel bringing it back a couple years later for the Hangman match? Because I know you did that on like an unauthorized show. Was that your idea or did they bring that to you?
I think they brought it to me because every February, you know, when St. Valentine's Day comes along, romantic touch just kind of comes rolling in. So this year, you know, he had a throwback Thursday match for Valentine's Day, and he even appeared on Week by Week in the Question of the Week. So I think that match was around Valentine's Day. So and the romantic touch kissed Adam Cole in that match. Those Bullet Club days. So the big smooch on Adam Cole's lips. So a lot of people are probably jealous of the romantic touch for that one.
Eat your heart out, Britt Baker.
But yeah, then at the end of the match.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hangman Page actually hung the romantic touch over the top rope, but little did Adam Page know that the romantic touch was really into auto asphyxiation, so he might have got a little bit more joy out of that one than Adam. So,
you mentioned Kenny King returning. Had you all kept in touch during his time in Impact? Because I know vacating the tag titles ideally was not something that I'm sure you were like, oh, that's my first choice, you know. And then immediately upon his return, you're back in that spot. How was that relationship during that period?
So it was one of those things where, like, when Kenny told me, like, hey, man, like, I'm going to be on Impact tonight. I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, we're the tag champs, but go ahead. Do what's best for Kenny King, yeah. You know? And I never, like, held any ill will towards him or anything like that. But we definitely stayed in touch, you know, always just, you know, talking shop and like that sort of thing, and like, oh, what's this guy up to, and oh, what's the drama over there, and this whole thing. And then he just the thing that really like set him off though was when Hernandez appeared for Impact when he was under contract
Lucha Underground.
So they had like 8 weeks of TV or something like that.
They couldn't run any of it.
and all of it got scrapped, and Kenny had a cage match, and he like dove off the cage, and like, you know, it was all this like stuff that like was going to be really breakout stuff for him, and none of it aired, and he was just like infuriated about this. And then like around that same time, his contract was running up, so they were like, oh, we're gonna, you know, we're just gonna do a per show thing. And he was like, oh yeah, that's cool with me. And then like he was like, hey man, like you think you could put it in the word? I'm like, I got you, bro. And sure enough, you know, I think the next month, Kenny King was popping out at the All-Star Extravaganza, and we, you know, answered the Briscoe's Open Challenge. But that almost didn't happen because the original plan was for Kenny King to come under a mask as the Kind Caress. And the Romantic Touches tag team partner as the Afternoon Delight. But at that point, like the Romantic Touch had just, you know, been around for, you know, he probably overstayed his welcome, but it was just like, you know what, we just need to hit the ground running with this. And, you know, All Night Express, Briscoe's first night back, big win on pay-per-view. You can't ask for much more.
I think it worked out best the way that it happened. I think that it worked because I remember I was watching the pay-per-view, I was covering it, and I was like, because as I mentioned to you, like, Briscoe's All Night Express were a big part of me being like, all right, tag team wrestling's back. This is what I want. So seeing that and then the surprise returns, I was like, hell yeah, this is exactly what I want. Like, so I always kind of wondered how, like, if you guys were on good terms or not. But it's good to hear that you were during that period, for sure.
Yeah, we were during that period. But, like, you know, a few years later, you know, I gotta go do the Bachelor. And it's like, well, you know, WrestleMania weekend's coming up. We got this, we got that. It's like, yeah. You know, the office is cool with it, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, you know, go do what's best for Kenny, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Bachelor raps, and, you know, it's about to start playing on TV. And he's like, oh, well, the thing is, like, the producers for the show think it would be better for me if I was a singles wrestler. And because, you know, you're not on the show and Caprice Coleman isn't on the show. So we need to, you know, present me as the way that I would be on the show to really make this pop off. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, Kenny King's winning the television title. And it's just like, all right, you know, go ahead, do what's best for Kenny. You know, forget about this tag team that we've had for, you know, 10 years or so, or whatever, you know, the time frame was. But yeah, and then he embarrassed me in front of my pregnant wife in Philadelphia, and that was kind of like the last straw. I was like, all right, you know, I'm done with this dude. I've done enough for him, as much as I can, and you know, we haven't really talked a whole lot since.
So, I mean, obviously, there are no All Night Express reunion plans in the cards as of right now.
I mean, unless we're on opposite sides of the ring, which with the Foundation and LFI beefing right now, it's a very big possibility.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it to some degree. We saw LFI and the Foundation recently in a pure tag match as well. I've always been interested to hear about your experiences when you appeared for WWE. I know you did a couple of different spots. So obviously, I assume you weren't under Ring of Honor contract then.
Not at that point, no. Yeah, that was kind of like the time frame in between, you know, Red Titus and the Romantic Touch showing up. Because like Romantic Touch showed up about six months after Red Titus had disappeared. But yeah, you know, that was always cool. I always like to say I had a cup of coffee in WWE, because there's like one scene where I'm having a cup of coffee and Vince McMahon is just, you know, yelling at like Brad Maddox or something like that, you know.
And Vicky, but, right? I thought Vicky was there.
And, you know, some Rosebud stuff, and I wrestled the Ascension as well on TV. That was pretty cool, you know, just for the sure fact of, you know, having a match on SmackDown, and you know, because everybody always asks, like, hey, like, when can I watch you on TV? When are you going to hit the big time? You know? I'm on TV, like, you know,
yeah.
I'm a contracted wrestler, like, and it, because people don't understand, you know, they're like, oh, Ring of Honor, like, you know, and they kind of look at it as like, because I've been with Ring of Honor my whole career, like, you know, that it's like, it's just been this one, like, little promotion this whole time where, yeah. where the Ring of Honor, when I started, compared to the Ring of Honor now, is like apples and oranges. You know, the company has, you know, gone through amazing growth, and, you know, when I first started at Ring of Honor, like, you know, if you would have told me that I'd be getting a paycheck every month, regardless if I wrestled or not, I would have laughed at you, you know? Like, what? Like, the same company that sent me to Wawa to buy ice concession stands, and then when I came back and said, hey, you guys didn't give me enough money, it cost $20 extra, they're like, oh, well, thank you very much. And I was like... Dude, I'm 18 years old. I got a 6 month old. You know, like, come on, like, help me out here. You know, but hey, like, if you would have told me that then, I would have laughed at you. But now, like, it's like I said, it's a completely different company. So,
when you were doing the WWE spot, did you have any interaction with Vince McMahon, or were you just kind of set in your spot there? Did he give you any direction by chance?
Well, it was really crazy just to see how like they do like the live TV and like the live, like little backstage vignettes, because the one with Vince was shot live. So, he came out from his segment in the TV, and like, I was told like, hey, just wait here. Like, you know, when Vince is ready, he'll be ready. And he kind of just like comes back from, the ring, and he strolls in, and he's like, all right, so what's the segment? And they're like explaining him, and then he's kind of like, you know, taking it all in, and he's like, well, what about if we did it like this? And this is all during the commercial break. And I'm like,
wow.
And they're coming back from the commercial break with this scene. So it's like, man, like, this guy is just like changing it on the fly, you know? So it was just like amazing to watch. And then, like, you know, as like, the funniest thing was like, as like it's going on, and it's like playing live, you just feel your phone just going, and like your Twitter just blowing up, and like, it's just like, man, like, it's crazy how like quick like people like, sorry about that.
You're good. It's all good.
But it's crazy to just see how like quickly people, you know, how it goes from TV right to, you know, the Twitter or whatever, whereas like Ring of Honor, like, you know, like, we'll tape stuff, you know, months before, and then all of a sudden, you know, poof, you know, here it is on TV. Like, damn, I forgot that I even had this match, or, you know, I forgot what this promo was even about, you know? But, yeah, you know, so it's very cool just to see how they do things there. And, you know, and even with like the wrestling match against like the Ascension, like, you know, the producers, you know, being a play into it, and just cool to see how,
who did produce it, by the way?
Road Dogg. Oh, Road nice. Dogg. Yeah. And it was funny because they're like, hey, so, we think, we're going to play a rib on, one of the guys in the production truck. And that's going to be your name for the match. His name is, Steve Garino. And I was like, oh, well, that kind of works for me too, because I can play a rib on one of my friends. So, yeah, but I never actually wound up getting a graphic or mentioned on, as Steve Garino on TV. So the rib kind of fell flat.
I love it. So who gave you the call and said, oh, you're coming to SmackDown, you're wrestling a match?
Well, it was funny because, they, when they did the, this was the Ascension's second match on TV. So they had the first one against Miz and Mizdow, and then like this, like the second one. So Scott Armstrong, you know, had all the extras, and he was like, all right, we're going to have you guys wrestle matches, and we're going to take the best guy from the matches. And he's like, I already know I'm using Titus. So Titus, you don't got to wrestle. You can wrestle if you want, but nice. You know, we're already using you. I was like, oh, I'm flattered, you know? But yeah, so I didn't know going in there that day that I would be having the match. But, you know, as soon as I got there, I pretty much knew. I was like, wow, you know, so you had plenty of time to stretch and prepare and, you know, and it's not like you went to catering and pigged out and then all of a sudden you come back and you're like, oh, what? I got a wrestling extension, you know? But it was cool, though, because I knew Victor. I had wrestled him at Ring of Honor
back
in 2006. Yeah, I wrestled him in 2006 when he was wrestling as Apocalypse. He would actually come. He was friends with Daniel Bryan, so he would come down to the Ring of Honor dojo and train with us as well. So I had a rapport with him, and we wrestled. It's funny because on the Indies and Ring of Honor, he used to do this move. He'd do like the crucifix bomb, like a razor's edge, but then he would turn it into a pile driver.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy, you know? But so he hit me with that move in Philly, bang. And Philly was close to my house, so my parents came to watch. And he hits me with this big move, bang. And, you know, I'm walking to the back after the match. I'm like selling my neck. And then all of a sudden, like, I hear my mom in the locker room. I'm like, what the hell? And my mom's like, oh my gosh, are you all right? Are you all right? I'm like, Mom, get out of here. Because, like, no lie, like, Colt Cabana, Alex Shelley, and Jimmy Rave were standing right there having a conversation. And I'll never forget. And Colt was like, he's all right, Mom. He's all right. And she's like, well, he should have got into acting. He had me worried sick out there. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And I'm just like, oh, man. There's, like, thinking in my head, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, 2007, like, you know, because Colt went away to WWE and,
yeah,
you know, came back years later and to Ring of Honor. And I was like, yeah, you know, he probably doesn't even remember me as the same person, you know. And then he's like, yeah, we can't have moms running around the locker room or anything. Ain't that right, Tom? Remember that? And he's like, you never forget when a mom comes into the locker room. And I'm like, oh, gosh. But I'm good friends with Alex Shelley now, but I'm like deathly scared to ask, like, hey, man, like, do you remember, like, when my mom came in the locker room, that Philly show, 2007 or 2006, rather? Yeah. But yeah,
that's amazing. God, I don't know how to follow that. But as we wrap up, a couple more. I remember you had mentioned training with Daniel Bryan, and I remember in some interviews you had said, "What didn't love it at the time, but now looking back, it like you it was a learning experience. You learned so much from doing it. How do you look back on that now, so many years later?"
Man, like now, like, I wasn't in the shape that I'm in now. So, like, you know, like all those Hindu squats and push-ups and running, like, I would be like, oh, now, you know, I'd just be like eating it all up and, you know, like trying to, you know, dog everybody else out, you know. Yeah. But at the time, I was just like, oh my gosh, more squats, more push-ups. And, but yeah, like, if it was to happen now, like, I'd be like, oh my gosh. And at the time, like, I was very new to wrestling too. So some of his techniques and holds were just like a little bit complicated for a new wrestler. So I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I remember, like, I had like 20 minutes alone with Brian where he was trying to teach me the short arm scissors and I just couldn't get it, you know? And I just sat there for like ever just trying to, couldn't get it. It was like my kryptonite. Couldn't do the short arm scissors for the life of me. But then, like, years later, actually training with Delirious, he was actually able to finally crack the code and get me to learn the short arm scissors. And now the short arm scissors, I love doing the short arm scissors, yeah. You know? It's just like little instances like that where you're like, man, like, I wish I was a little bit more experienced then because I could have learned so much more. And it's little things too that, like, you know, like that you'll think back to the training that you got from him and you'll be like, like, this is what he was going for then, you know? And it's all like one of these full circle moments. But yeah, you know, and even getting to wrestle Brian on like a Ring of Honor show in 2009, man, like I wish I would be able to wrestle him today, because, you know, he not only has he gotten so much better since 2009, but I've gotten so much better since 2009. So I would love to just be able to learn more from him now. So, but yeah, like nowadays I'm kicking myself in the butt, like trying to like, hey, you better work harder than what you were then.
Last question as we finish up. There was a Twitter submission, I assume one of your childhood friends says, ask him about the Samu and Giant Gonzalez Hasbros I gave him at his 8th birthday party. I'm gonna hope this is a childhood friend, otherwise it's a very creepy individual.
Yeah, good old Josh Rumbin. You know, in kindergarten, he was like my first friend because, you know, we both loved wrestling. We're the only kids in the class that love wrestling. So, and second grade at my birthday party, I'll never forget the brand new series, Giant Gonzalez and Samu. I hadn't even seen the series yet because, like, kids these days, they already know what's coming out before it comes out. Back when, you know, I was a kid, you know, you'd have to go to the store and be like, oh, my gosh, they made a Giant Gonzalez wrestling figure.
You wouldn't even know if the series was continuing back then. You would just hope. Like, I walked into the store, and I was like, what are these? What are these? What are these? Like, there'd be a new series. I would have no idea that was coming up.
I'll never forget. Like the transition from Hasbro to Jax wrestling figures was like such a state of confusion for me, because there was like this period of time where I could never find any wrestling figures. I'm like, what is going on here? And then in the fourth grade, I saw another childhood friend, my friend Rob. He had a Goldust and a Shawn Michaels figure, and he was playing with him at lunch, and I was like, what?
Yes.
What are these? But yeah, like you never knew about, you know, these sorts of things. And so Josh Rumbin, the guy who bought me these figures in second grade, actually went away to Catholic school in middle school. So that's when like wrestling really blew up and everybody wrestling. And then like probably around like the 10th or 11th grade, I saw him and we were playing basketball at the park, and I was like, yo, Josh, I hadn't seen him in years, you know, because, you know, that wasn't social media back then. And, you know, once somebody's not in your class, you know, you kind of don't talk to him back in those days, you know. But he was like, I was like, oh, man, you still like wrestling? He's like, I don't watch that stuff on TV no more. I like indie stuff. I'm like, wait. What? Like, you watch the indies? Like, do you watch Ring of Honor? He's like, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, and he's like, you gotta check out this IWA Mid-South. And I was like, all right. And that's what like started my tape trading as a kid, because I dubbed a Ring of Honor tape for him, and he gave me an IWA Mid-South tape. It was the Chris Hero CM Punk match,
yes,
where they did the Russian leg sweep from the balcony through the tables. And I was like, and because I was always a Ring of Honor fan, but like I didn't really, you know, go seek out these other indies, because the one time I tried to, like, with a doubleheader with CZW, and like there was like, you know, light tubes and like all this crazy stuff, I was like, I don't know about all this, you know. And then he also told me about this like message board forum where you can go on there and trade tapes. It was called Crazy Max Forums. And I was like, all right, cool. And like, I was like, hey, like, I'm new here, blah, blah, blah. My friend Josh Rumbin sent me over here. But little did I know that like Josh Rumbin had like mega heat on those boards, because like one day he like made all these trades and everybody sent him the tapes, and he just went radio silent, never sent anything back. And like he owed all these people like tapes and money and all this crazy stuff. And then like, and so like people were coming after me. I was like, I don't know, I just want to trade some tapes and get some different indies and stuff. But I eventually you know, built up my own reputation on that message board and stuff. But yeah, you know, message board tape trading was definitely a fun, and now man, I remember I got that one tape from Josh Roman, which led to like 500 wrestling tapes or something crazy, you know?
That's wild. It sounds like the scene from Superbad where the guy hits Jonah Hill with a car and he's like, oh, come to this party with me. Everybody likes me there. And then they get there and everybody wants to kick their ass. Josh almost got your ass kicked on the forums.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. But yeah, so that is a very true story. I got the wrestling figures in second grade for my 8th birthday party.
Fantastic. Well, guys, check out Rhett Titus in action on ROH's YouTube, but also 19th anniversary is set for Friday, March 26th. Make sure you guys check that out. Rhett Titus, so generous with your time. Thank you so much. I could talk to you about this stuff all day. There is no shortage of things to talk to Rhett Titus about.
No, Sean, it's a pleasure coming on here. You know, definitely you guys want to go check out that 19th anniversary show. It's going to be an amazing show. All the titles will be defended once again. You know, cards subject to change due to COVID and those sorts of things. But, you know, always want to check out Ring of Honor on Fight TV, on the Fight app, every Monday night at 7 o'clock. Watch along with the Ring of Honor roster on Twitter, because we're always watching, tweeting along, hashtag watch ROH. Follow me on Twitter/Instagram at Rhett Titus ANX, Facebook.com/Rhett Titus, YouTube.com/Rhett Titus. I'm on TikTok, Rhett Titus.
Oh, you got a TikTok.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of crazy stuff on there. Once in a while, I'll just head on there and stuff. But I like to watch other people's videos on there. But, you know, ProWrestlingTees.com/RhettTitusANX. ShopHonor.com. Search Rhett Titus on there for my Ring of Honor t-shirts as well. So, Sean.
He's everywhere.
I could chat with you all day as well, too, man.
Well, we got to do this again very soon. Rhett Titus, guys, you'll get all those links in the description below. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Sean. It was my absolute honor.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.